come to the theology of God's presence. For instance, is his presence stronger here than it is next to George? Pardon? The springs under the baptistry. Right. Anyway, let's find out biblically rather than listen to Ray's and George's views. Let's listen to somebody with a bit of authority. God, I don't mean me. Right, so omnipresence. We all accept God is omnipresent, don't we? He's everywhere. That's always been a sort of theological given. That's one of the three omnis. What's the other one? The knowledge of his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. That's prophecy in Habakkuk, yeah? That's the one I'm after, really. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Ray's talking in Elizabethan England, Elizabethan English. Whithersoever shall I goest from thy presence? What psalm is it? 139. 139. Where shall I go from your presence? Psalm 139, verse 7. Onwards, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So it's no good trying to hide from God, is it? Jonah tried it. Didn't work. Even in the belly of the whale. So God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. There's other verses that back it up, by the way, as Paul speaking in the book of Acts. When he's in Athens, God is everywhere. He's in you. He's not far from you. In him you live and move and have your being. Could God be more in one place than in another place? We've already established he's everywhere. But could his presence be more in one place than in another place? That's something for you to think about. Do you want to leave the answer till later?
I don't think he could be more in one place than in another. I think he may make his presence no more in one place. I don't think God could possibly be not totally somewhere.
And on top of the mountain of Mount Sinai, is it? There's two examples I can think of. Yeah, where he was, you know, no one could touch the mountain else to die. No one could go into the tabernacle one else to die because of his presence.
Well, the second question is, could that be the case in a room, for instance, or in a geographical location, or in a certain town? Could it be more in Salford than it is in... Anybody else in here? Wait, I won't say what I was going to say then. Could it be more in the north of England than in the south of England? Anybody from the south here? Well, I'm sorry. He's more in the north than he's in the south. And then the third question. If he's more in one place than another place, and that we've still not answered that question yet, is it because of geographical reasons, or is it because of people, or some other factor, that he would be more in one place than another? Interesting question. The answer is?
Don't they dig wells? Wells.
Oh, wells.
Wells, yeah. And they were places of God's, refreshing. Yeah. So, obviously that's a geographical.
Yeah, and you've got, I've not got this down here, but Naaman the Syrian, of course. If he wanted to be cleansed, he had to go into the River Jordan, didn't he, and dip himself seven times. And he said, what's wrong with the rivers back from where I come from, Syria? But the instruction was dip in the River Jordan. As I told you last week, it's a bit dirty and smelly, but he got cleansed.
He inhabits the praises of his people. So if you're praising, and he's...
Come on, Rosa. Let's see if the Bible says that. George and Rosa say it. Sorry?
What about the three persons of the Trinity?
Jesus has a physical body, is in one place. Who says he isn't there? In one place. Has he got a physical body? We're his body. We're his body, aren't we? And he's the head. He's in us. In Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Yeah, by the Holy Spirit. Okay, here at Mount Chapel, and we constantly invite him to come into our meetings in a special way. Even though we think he's already here, we still say, come. Will you come? Jeff said, but he's everywhere. What do you mean? What do you mean invite him to come? He's already here. Where two or three are gathered, he's there in the midst. He's already here. Doesn't have to be three, does it? It just says two. Two or three, so two. Is he not there if there's only one? John 14:21, which we're going to look at in a minute, he's there if there's only one. If that one's hungry. Okay, so, if he's already here, what do we mean by asking him to come? If the Holy Spirit's already here, why should we say, come Holy Spirit? Because we want more, yeah. Right, so I think he comes in different degrees, and we'll look at some biblical examples. Matthew 18:20, by the way, is one of the key verses, which is where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I, in the midst of them or in the middle of them. So any two of you sat there. And it says in the verse before, if you agree about anything. Well, so if you just get with somebody, so let's agree to pray for George's... What? You've got nothing wrong with him. George's hands to become more normal. No, I mean, not. Stop being facetious, John. If we agree to pray for somebody who's got something wrong with them, two of us agree, the promise is God will be there. But I think there is also a sense in which his presence comes in a special way, and Aidan's already referred to it. If you take the life of Moses encountered God on several occasions, didn't he? Many, many occasions, actually. What would be the first one, do you think, where he had a special encounter? Burning bush, yeah. Was he looking for God at the time? No. Because this is one of the key things. Does the person have to be looking for God to experience God? Not always, it doesn't seem. Moses wasn't at that point. They could have been going along praying, we don't know. Could have been talking to God. We don't know, do we? But bush burned and wasn't consumed. Exodus chapter 3. Wanted to look at is Exodus 33, verse 15. Key verse about the presence of God. Exodus 33, verse 15. Anybody know what it says? You can find it and tell me. Exodus 33, verse 15. Yeah. Moses, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send me. Does Moses not know about God's omnipresence? I think he does. I think he's just saying, we need your special manifest presence. Otherwise, we're not going. And yes, he had. So why does Moses ask? Yes, so I ask again. I will go with you. But then he doesn't correct him when Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with me, we're not going. And then he says, well, I will. My presence will go with you. Moses takes it a step further and then asks for something further than his presence. Whoa. Which is, show me your glory. But we're not talking about that tonight, we're talking about the presence. So, it seems that God's presence can go with you in a special way and can be with you in a special way. Verse 14, the Lord replies, my presence will go with you. Then Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. Verse 17, I'll do the very thing you've asked, God says, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Is there a clue there? God will send his special presence because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Well, that would that rule out a lot of us then, because he's not pleased with us? Or is he pleased with us? You see, I think he's pleased with us. I think he's, you know, we stood in the river and he said, I love you. I'm pleased with you. I think he stood for you. He's pleased with you then. So I think that's all right. He's pleased with us and he knows us by name too. John 14:21, moving on from Moses. Of course, there's many other Moses passages, you know, where he goes up the mountain and the others aren't meant to come, and animals aren't meant to come up the mountain, you remember? Keep the animals off the mountain. Have you ever thought about that bit? Why keep the animals off the mountain? Gregory of Nyssa says this: animals are irrational creatures, i.e. they move by appetite. They're governed by their appetites. That's what they follow, you know. When I take my dog a walk, she's sniffing around, you know, and she just follows her appetite, basically. To put it bluntly, she's a scavenger. And animals are led by their appetites very much. But man is meant to be of a higher calling, spiritual. Now, Moses represented that when he went up the mountain, whereas the other people didn't want to go. They wanted to stay, you know, let's just do the things we can see. Moses knew that the things you can't see are more important. Moses was a man of virtue. God had called him. We're called to be the same. We're called to follow the things we can't see more than the things we can see. Animals follow the things they can see, or smell, or taste. They move by their physical senses. And so do a lot of people. But we're called to move by our spiritual senses, aren't we? So, a higher calling. John 14:21, Jesus talked, this could be the promise that answers Ray's point earlier on. John 14:21, Jesus says he will show himself to people. I will manifest myself to certain people. John 14:20, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus saying, I'll show myself to you. Can we expect Jesus to show himself to us? Some conditions in the verse, of course. One is that we love him. One is that we obey him. But he says, I will show myself to that person, to that one. Now, the tabernacle, I think, Aidan, you referred to the tabernacle before. Why did God give Moses instructions to build a tabernacle? We've just been saying things are spiritual. It's the unseen that is the important. It's the unseen where God is. But he says to Moses, build this tabernacle, build it this specific way. Make the pictures nice. The rooms are nice. They've been specifically laid out how you are to build it. Some of it will be wood covered with gold and specially got. The ark is a symbol of God's presence. From then on. It's a symbol of God's presence. It's got two cherubim over it. Symbolic of his presence. We know from Isaiah, and we know from Ezekiel, and we know from Revelation, that there are angels' wings, cherubim's wings, round the presence of God. There's the ark. It's got two cherubim on the top, covered with wings. How symbolic is that of heaven? John sees it in Revelation. The angels covered him, the wings around his presence. In the tabernacle, God is revealing to us in a physical way what his presence is like, to some extent. And so Moses builds it, and then it becomes symbolic of God's presence, so that where the ark is, They get blessed. Unless the ark falls into people who don't appreciate its hands, and then those people don't get blessed. But good old Obed-Edom, he valued that ark and he got really blessed. So David wanted it brought into Jerusalem, didn't he? When he brought it into Jerusalem, he danced before the Lord with all his might. So the tabernacle is symbolic of God's presence. We now worship or follow, Hebrews says, a tabernacle not made with hands. What's the reference for that? Hebrews 9, is it? I think it's Hebrews 9. Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. Hebrews 9:11. The Old Testament tabernacle taught us things, spiritual things that we now access as Christians. A tabernacle not made with hands. That tabernacle in the Old Testament, it served a purpose in revealing something to us about God's presence. But it's not where we are now. There's a tabernacle without hands, not made with hands, now that we follow the presence of God. Then in the tabernacle there were seven lamps, weren't there? Seven lamps on a candlestick. The menorah, one stem, seven branches. What does it say in Revelation around the throne? Seven spirits of God, which are the seven flames, which are the seven spirits of God. Well, the tabernacle was telling us about heaven. It was telling us what it's like in God's presence. My question makes the comments. And he said, Jesus of Nazareth, I am he. Oh, they all fell down, didn't they? John 18:6. Who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. They're seeking to arrest him. Well, they all fell down. The manifest presence of God came. And then they got up again. Can't remember whether he asks them again, who do you seek? I think he does, doesn't he? But this time he doesn't knock them down. He withholds his manifest presence. They're probably thinking, I don't know if we want to answer, I don't understand. The new ones are walking on their own, and the Jesus says, I was stopped, and away. Response. They've been with me. I wonder if the manifest presence was there when Jesus walked through the crowd when they were trying to arrest him. Jesus' manifest presence. Well, his presence is stronger than it was normally, is what we're saying, isn't it? And that's what I think we should pray later on, for God's manifest presence. Acts chapter 9 verse 4, Saul of Tarsus walking along the road. The manifest presence of God comes. Saul hasn't asked for it. It's interesting, some of these, the person's ready for it, wants it. In one or two cases, they're not. But it comes anyway. Revelation 1:17, John fell as though dead. He had no bodily strength. While he saw and heard into the spirit world. Manifest presence of God again. Ezekiel 1. The last verse, verse 28. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Ezekiel, does he fall face down voluntarily? Possibly. Probably. But it seems from the beginning of chapter 2 that he can't get up. Because chapter 2 says, he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I'll speak to you. It seems that he can't get up because it says, as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. Ha! Whoa! Which being interpreted means, wow. Daniel 8, chapter 8, 17 and 18. As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified. I fell prostrate. Son of man, he said to me, understand that this vision concerns the time of the end. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Couldn't get up, I don't think, because then he touched me and raised me to my feet. Most of the time when people fall on the ground in the Bible, they seem to fall face down. Don't know why we always think people should fall that way. Catchers behind them, maybe we should have catchers in front of them. Anyway, it's not. With my face to the ground. This is the manifest presence of God, isn't it? This is God coming in a stronger way than normal. Chapter 10, 17 to 19. My strength is gone. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, speak, my Lord, since you've given me strength. Dedication of the temple, Solomon, priests, glory, cloud, priests can't stand. What's gone on before that? Lots and lots of worship. Interesting, the first time I heard angels, Lakeland, I've been watching it. Is it 80 nights now it's been going? I probably watched 60 of them. Only heard angels this week. I've been worshipping every night, haven't I, for a long time. Don't get discouraged, though. You know. We've been worshipping a long time, too, haven't we? Maybe not daily, but, you know, for a long time. Anyway, they couldn't minister. God's manifest presence obviously came. The priests withdrew from the holy place. The cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Three questions then, having looked at all those verses. Same three questions. Could God be more in one place than in another? Could that be the case in a room, for instance? Could he be more in here than he is in the kids' church, or the other way around? Could it be more over there where Andy is than over there where Nicky is? Ooh, not trying to cause trouble here. No, equal, I'm sure. Is it geographical, or is it something to do with the people? What do you think after the scriptures we've heard? Geographical or people? Yeah, I think so. It seems to be about people. In fact, in Ezekiel's place, he was by the river Kibar in Babylon when God visited him. And certainly not a holy place, Babylon. But in a lot of cases, they were sort of communing with God. John Revelation, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When this happened. I was in the Spirit. Daniel, we know Daniel prayed a lot, don't we? Because we all sing Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed three times. Till one day they had him cast in the den of lions. Even then, in the den. He was a man of prayer, regularly. God visited him. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. I'm sure he spent a lot of time with God. The temple, all that worship went on. Moses is sort of set apart by God himself, but then communed with God a lot. From what we looked at. And I've got six of them. My first conclusion is God's presence can come in greater degrees than we normally experience it. So when we pray, God, let your presence come into this room. Let your presence come right now. That's a good prayer, it would seem. And it doesn't mean he's not omnipresent. Secondly, things usually happen when his presence comes in that way. Like revelation, for instance. Things are revealed. words are revealed to the person, or designs are revealed, or do this, or build this, or this is going to happen. Revelation happens. Thirdly, the person usually feels something. Sometimes in a very heavy way. Heavy in sort of pressing them down towards the ground a bit, I think, because, you know, they fall face down and then they can't get up, or they just get face down because, you know, the sense of, and then they can't get up. And in the case of the priest, sounds like they're forced to the ground by the glory. Kabod. Heavy kabod glory. Kabod is a Hebrew word for glory. And it's heavy. So ikabod meant the glory has departed. Kabod, glory. Don't call your children ikabod. Ikabod Crane. He was called Ichabod. The glory's departed. Why would you want to be called that? Or Jabez, pain. Why do you want to be called Jabez? Hey, pain, come here. Jabez means pain. So God's presence can come in greater degrees. Usually revelation comes with it. Usually the person feels it. Mostly the person or the persons are more important than the place. Mostly. I don't know if, I can't think of anything that would back up that the place is the key thing. Maybe you can, but I can't think of any. It seems that the person or the persons are the key thing. Mostly they're people who spend time talking with God. There are exceptions, Saul of Tarsus and Saul, King Saul. Oh, they're both called Saul, eh? The two involuntary ones. I wonder where that was. Spirit comes on Saul and he prophesies against his will. Imagine if that happened to you. He started prophesying. He said, no, I don't want to, but you're carrying on, you're doing it. So, the last one is, so our response is, we're going to continue inviting the presence of God and desiring the presence of God in our meetings and the I think I've finished.